the headlines this hour. The Palestinian Authority bans trade in commodities made in Israeli settlements. In Thailand, pro-government groups call for martial law amid a worsening political crisis. And in Iran, doctors carry out the world's first in situ transplant of a bioartificial trachea.
Well, it's 2:30 in the morning here in the capital, Tehran. You're watching another bulletin of World News and Press TV.
Thanks for joining us. Our top story this hour. Acting Chief of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, has signed a law which bans trade in goods made by Israelis living in the West Bank settlements. Offenders will face jail sentences and cash fines. The move is part of a campaign to encourage European Union member states to ban trade with enterprises run by Israeli settlers. Israeli settlement expansions are a sticking point in the Middle East's so-called peace process. While Israel has come under global pressure to stop building settlements on Palestinian lands, the settlements are illegal under international law. Well, the former Israeli Prime Minister's bribery scandal continues.
Well, police have now arrested former Prime Minister Ehud Olmert's office manager. Shula Zakin is the latest aide to Olmert to be questioned over multiple fraud and bribery cases in which the ex-premier is a top suspect. Detectives arrested Zakin as she returned to Israel from the U.S. The scandal began when Olmert was suspected of taking almost $1 million in bribes when he was Israel's Minister of Trade and Industry back in 2003. He is also accused of other multiple charges, including illegally accepting gifts of cash-stuffed envelopes from a Jewish American businessman. Olmert denies the charges. Last December, he pleaded not guilty to the charges of corruption linked to three cases.
Thailand's king has told a group of newly appointed judges to carry out their duties for the nation with honesty and integrity. King Bhumibol Adulyadet talked to the judges at a Bangkok hospital where he has been staying since last September. He's not referred to the current political crisis in the country. Tensions have been on the rise again after government loyalists threat to take action against opposition protesters. The so-called yellow shirts want the government to crack down on the red-shirted opposition. They say martial law should be imposed to end mass anti-government protests. The red shirts are mainly supporters of ousted Premier Thaksin Shinawat. They've promised to continue their protests unless the government agrees to hold snap elections. They've announced nationwide action to prevent security forces from joining the police crackdown in the capital. Here's more.
After 6 weeks of protests by the United Front for Democracy, known as the Red Shirts, the chances for what the organization would call an equitable agreement remain slim. Additional violence has riddled the country, including a bomb attack on the ex-prime minister's house, injuring 11, and grenade attacks on a police station in the northern city of Chiang Mai. Last Saturday, following the grenade attacks on three of Bangkok's metro rail stations for which no groups or persons claimed responsibility, the Red Shirts retreated from their blockades in the center of Bangkok. They also revised their demands by extending the date for dissolving the Thai parliament by a month.
UDP was a little bit surprised that our proposal of 1 month dissolution plan was rejected by the government. And so because they did that, we decided that we're going to switch back to our original strategy of immediate dissolution and opposite leave the country.
The Thai Prime Minister stated that the violent behavior that has preceded these negotiations nullifies chances for a fair agreement. He has vowed to retake the sites of protests.
The chief of the Thai military corroborated the statements of the Prime Minister while also adding that force, if used, will be minimal and only when necessary. Meanwhile, the Centre for Resolution of Emergencies, which is part of the Thai government, has vowed to crack down on protesters who continue to remain in the financial districts of Bangkok.
Meanwhile, spokespersons from the UDD claim that they have genuine concerns about a military crackdown on protests.
What left last night was just the army who were planning to crush us alone. and there are some differences on how to proceed. So at this point, we expected that they will try again either this afternoon or tonight.
Despite the current government's intentions of evacuating the protest sites, Red Shirt supporters remain firmly committed to their cause.
This government has made the law two-tiered. Poor people are not the same as them. Those people, such as the yellow shirts, the people in government, they can do any wrong and it's called right. But poor people, such as are here, do right, but it's called wrong.
Following the government's rejection of the compromise demands, the Red Shirts have reformulated their strategy by returning to their original plan, and they intend to continue on. This is Preethi Nalu reporting for Press TV from Bangkok.
Well, Iran has carried out an in situ transplant of a bioartificial trachea in humans. The operation is the first of its kind in the world. The transplant has been carried out on a 29-year-old woman. Doctors say the patient is now in good shape and breathing easily. They say the transplant was carried out without surgery, and the method is also helpful in removing malignant tumors.
Well, now Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has criticized the right of veto held by the permanent members of the UN Security Council. Speaking to the commanders of Iran's security forces, Ahmadinejad said the UN Security Council has turned into a tool for evildoers. He added, today humanity needs ethics and culture, not nuclear arms and other destructive weapons. Ahmadinejad said the problems facing humanity stem from the fact that most of the world's wealth and power are in the hands of uncultivated and unethical parties. Ahmadinejad also criticized the U.S. attitude towards other countries. Iran's president said the U.S. policy of humiliating other nations is a failure.
Iran says Bosnia must try to bring balance to the decisions made by the United Nations Security Council. Iran's Foreign Minister Manuchehr Motaki and members of the UN Security Council have the responsibility to defend the rights of other countries and move toward justice. Motaki made the comments in a meeting with his Bosnian counterpart Sven Alkalaj in Sarajevo. Bosnia and Herzegovina is now a rotating member of the United Nations Security Council. On Sunday, Motaki held talks with the Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency to discuss a nuclear fuel swap deal. Iran says it's still interested in the fuel swap deal and has started negotiations with the UNSC members to reach a solution to the issue.
Well, Brazil's foreign minister, Celso Amorim, says his country backs Iran's rights to its nuclear energy program. Brazil is a non-permanent member of the UN Security Council. Amorim says dialogue is the only solution to the West's dispute with Iran. The Brazilian foreign minister says sanctions against Tehran are unjust and his country opposes them. He's met with Iran's top nuclear negotiator, Saeed Jalili, and Parliament Speaker Ali Larijani. Amorim arrived in Tehran on Monday for a two-day visit. He's expected to meet President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Amorim's visit paves the ground for next month's trip to Iran by Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. Well, meanwhile, in an exclusive interview with Press TV, Amorim has commented on the nuclear disarmament as well as Iran's nuclear activities.
Brazilian Foreign Minister Celso Amorim has called for nuclear disarmament in the Middle East. He believes a nuclear-free region would be pivotal to future peace and stability.
The solution for the region really would be Middle East free of nuclear weapons and free of all kinds of weapons of mass destruction. Whether the political conditions are ripe or not for that, I don't know. But this is an eternal question, because conditions are never ripe for you to make the right step. It takes some boldness.
Israel is said to have dozens of atomic warheads. It's the only clear and present nuclear threat in the Middle East. Amorim has also commented on a recent nuclear security summit in the United States. He calls the gathering a positive step, but insists that concrete steps should be taken afterwards.
But of course this positive thing will be pure rhetoric if we don't take concrete steps. I was a bit disappointed, for instance, to hear the latest news about a NATO summit or a NATO ministerial meeting in which it is said that the tactical weapons in Europe are not going to be dismantled. So this in a way, is a step forward that could have been taken and which was not taken.
The Brazilian foreign ministers urged a negotiated solution to the West's dispute with Iran over its nuclear energy program. He says the two sides should feel comfortable with a possible solution. During his visit, Amerim has met with top Iranian officials to convey Rio's views. He has discussed how to improve ties with the emphasis on the two-way trade.
Well, Iran will soon issue 750 million euros worth of bonds to develop its oil industry. A top Iranian oil official says a further 5 billion euros worth are set to follow after March next year. 3 billion euros from the figure will be allocated to the South Pars gas field, and the rest will go toward oil field development projects. Iran has the world's second largest natural gas reserves after Russia, but the development of its gas exports has been hampered by a lack of investment and runaway growth in domestic consumption.
And over to the news here on Press TV, a quick check of the headlines this hour. The Palestinian Authority bans trade in commodities made in Israeli settlements. In Thailand, pro-government groups call for martial law amid a worsening political crisis. And in Iran, doctors carry out the world's first in situ transplant of a bioartificial trachea.